You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on in, everybody, to Dana and Parks on a holiday weekend. There is nary a car in nary a parking lot right now.
The weekend about working and nobody's working.
Everyone was like, it's Friday, let's hang over early.
Well, celebrating the labor movement.
Yes,
of this country.
Yeah, is that what everybody's doing?
And that's everything the labor movement has done for
us. Is that what everybody's doing?
Us.
A theme to the music today. I'm going to try to play as many songs as I can about working or not working.
Good. Scott is not working today.
That
he actually had a scheduled day off today, a few days after he thought he was having a non-scheduled heart attack.
His test
results came back fine. He is still not here. I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about something that I did not warn Dan about and I did not warn Sam about, and I would love for you to join in the conversation. If this touched you in any way, it was 20 years ago today that Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf.
Oh, yeah.
And here's why we're going to talk about this. I had read that one of the best documentaries ever done about this is streaming right now on Netflix. It's called Katrina, Come Hell and High Water. Okay? I would urge everyone to run. Do not walk. Watch any of the documentaries about it. National Geographic has a bunch of them. But the Netflix Come Hell or High Water is outstanding. We started it last night. And I think now that we have 20 years to look back at that time, even some of my opinions have changed about that horrifying snapshot in time and how things were handled and
the response
and what could we have done better, like all of those things. And one of the things I want to talk about is the memories that have faded. Certainly I had forgotten a couple of things about this, that the hurricane plowed into New Orleans direct hit 20 years ago, August 29th. The disaster did not unfold until that hurricane had blown clear through that city. And one of the things that they do a really good job about in this documentary, they go back and they pull the footage from CNN, from the local stations. Once that hurricane blew through, certainly Bourbon Street and the Central Business District were damaged, but largely unscathed.
The levees had not broken yet.
The levees hadn't broken yet. So all of the initial reporting was, meh, we've kind of dodged another one. It was intense, 160 mile an hour winds. Mm-hmm. We had windows blown out at the Hyatt, like all of these things, but meh. The news reports, they were all down live in Bourbon Street. And look, there's even still a bar open over here. Everything's fine. Okay.
And the storm surge was capping the levees.
Yes.
But the levees were still holding true.
The rest of America sort of goes back to work. And then they start interviewing people. And there's this one woman in that lower Ninth Ward, Dan, who says, I look down to the left and you just see this wall of water coming. Once everyone had sort of all reported that New Orleans is fine.
Well, these storms, I mean, we don't live in a movie. And, you know, the storms don't do everything all at once. And this storm, Katrina, really was a storm with two different sides. Because it did not strike New Orleans directly. It struck to the east of the city. So they got the back end of it. But because of the surge as that storm moved north, pushed all that water up the canals and the way that they chop up.
Dan, the city officials did not even know the levees had broke.
Right.
They were at some meeting talking about the aftermath of the hurricane, and somebody came in and said the levees have broke. And the mayor is in that meeting, and they interview everybody in this documentary. The mayor says that is the equivalent of dropping a bomb on our town. We just never thought the levees would actually break.
And to Dan's point about the back half of the storm being the direct hit on the city, that also happens to be where the more aggressive bands of rain are.
Yes. So
on the east side of that storm, of course, it slammed in with the northeast quadrant into the Mississippi coast.
And
I went there.
Everyone wants to say, Dan, I know you were down there, and all my relatives are down there. Everyone wants to say, why the hell didn't people get out?
Well,
That is a, if evacuating an entire city with a handful of days notice is on paper, sounds like something that's a really good idea. The reality is very different. Listen into the trailer of the documentary here.
Before the storm came, me and my cousin, we ride our bikes through the Treme area. It never crossed my mind that would be my last bike ride in my community.
Hurricane Katrina is now a Category 5 storm.
They've built the levee system now to withstand a Category 3.
I woke up. My neighborhood had 20 feet of water.
I put my first granddaughter on the roof, turned around to get her two sisters, and she fell into the water and disappeared.
We survived Katrina. When the levees broke, that's what did us in.
The government's levees failed, and they left us. You just say that clear, they left us.
Federal, state, and local officials just were completely unprepared for something they knew was going to happen.
We predicted that people would be trapped in their homes.
I couldn't leave.
20,000 people showed up at the Superdome.
We didn't have any food, any water.
The governor said that she's ordered our National Guard to shoot, to kill if somebody's looting. I'm not sure if you call that looting. I call that survival. The American people only knew what they saw on television.
TV news loves a crime story more than anything else.
We were treated as criminals.
Why are these people holding us against our will in here?
You can look and see that this was racial.
Is anybody going to come help us?
We're part of a culture that we want a hero.
There's no blueprint for 80% of a major city being underwater. There's no blueprint for that.
20 years later, this is still real.
20 years to life, the time should fit the crime. Human lives cut down and out, left in waters to rot.
That's part of the trailer. Nearly 2,000 people died, by the way. More than a million people were displaced. And you're going to start seeing on a loop today, you'll see, remember, Mayor Ray Nagin. And people rightfully so had a lot of questions in the immediate aftermath. Why did you not mandatory evacuate the city? One of the things I had forgotten, Dan, was they had mandatory evacuated the city right prior to Katrina for Hurricane Ivan. And then at the very last minute, Ivan took a different path. And New Orleans was completely unscathed. And so, you know, you have an entire population of people who are hourly workers. I think 400,000 people or something did not have access to any transportation. No cars, no way to get out.
And where are they going to go?
And where are they going to go? And they had just, I hate the term, cried wolf, because Mother Nature's going to do what Mother Nature did. But after Ivan, all the residents said, we're not leaving again. You told us to leave after Ivan. We spent money on hotels. We left. We lost jobs.
And how common is that story? I mean, we saw it with the Texas floods. We've seen it again and again and again. Same thing here in the Midwest. We hear the tornado sirens. We go and look to see if it's coming.
The word is hubris. You know, humans are like, it's not going to happen. But the bigger thing about Katrina is, I think, a discussion about priorities. Priorities by citizens and priorities by governments and the money used between. And we learned something very big during Katrina.
Yeah, that New Orleans is a bowl.
Well, we knew that, but the priorities.
Yeah.
You know, do we want to fortify a sunken city to a Category 6 level and spend the money to do so, or do we want to just roll the dice?
Or do you hope that it doesn't happen again?
Exactly.
Do you hope that it doesn't happen again? Anyway, it's been 20 years. The name of the documentary is Hell and High Water. It is on Netflix. I urge you to check it out. It is very, very powerful, very, very good, and I think does a good job of explaining why, quote, people didn't just leave. And by the way, by the time people did start to leave, you were running out of gas on the side of the highway because it's impossible, impossible to evacuate a city that size with a couple of days' notice.
and only a couple of lanes of highway. I mean, you can turn all of the highways to go one way out of the city, but that still is only six lanes.
There's one scene, Sam, where a guy finally gets up to the pump. Old elderly man gets up to the pump and puts the gas pump in his car, and the cashier comes out and says, "There's no more gas.
We're out.
Yeah. We are out of gas." 913-586-7798. We will be back with much more on Dana and Parks straight ahead. Stick with us. So Labor Day, celebrated on the first Monday of September, honors American workers and emerged from the late 19th century labor movement. The first celebration actually occurred in New York City in 1882 with a parade of 10,000 workers. It became a federal holiday in 1894. The holiday also marks, of course, the unofficial end of summer.
Yeah, September 1 is the meteorological start to fall. Kids are back in school. Pools are closing.
Pumpkin spice lattes are back in the stores.
All right, we didn't have to bring that one up.
Moms, I'm starting to see Christmas decorations. Here's something else to look forward to in September. And man, I think we are going to try this. Johnny will be thrilled. Have you heard of No Spend September?
I have.
And what it means for your wallet. I want to ask most of our listeners, could you even go an entire month without buying anything on Amazon?
Well, and so No Spend September is not specifically about just not buying anything on Amazon. It's about frivolous purchases.
Well, but to my point, I think 92% of the items we all click on to have delivered are frivolous.
Okay.
Are they not?
I mean, I'll tell you that I use Amazon. Like, I just bought some more undershirts on Amazon.
Okay, not frivolous.
And I'm the type of person that, like, it was getting to the point where I was doing laundry twice a week because I was out of undershirts. And I was like, just buy some, you dummy. So I went on Amazon
look it up,
and
Sam,
got
I want to know what percentage of purchases on Amazon are necessity versus frivolity. Maybe I'm wrong. I bought 3 vases yesterday for $26. There's something about the click and get it done and it's coming to the door that lights up the happy center in my brain.
Well, and the fact that for a lot of people that they like to get the booze going and start swiping on the old Amazon and they wake up and there's a new package on their door. So what did I buy last night?
So it's called No Spend September. September has been gaining traction as a challenge to cut out unnecessary purchases for an entire month. No Spend September has been popular on social media, is a time to spend money on necessities and to build long-term financial habits. The big idea is to help people start learning how to get a little more control of their expenditures and maximize your income. Quoting here from Western Kentucky University finance professor Zachary Jones. The question becomes, what's really important for you to actually spend money on? Deciding on financial goals and making sure your budget aligns with those goals is key. Jones says short-term desires can hold you back from future opportunities.
Believe it or not, Amazon does not put out statistics about people wasting money on Amazon. But according to the text line, we've already gotten multiple people chiming in saying that they use Amazon solely for essentials. I know people that buy toilet paper, paper towels.
Like in lieu of going to the grocery store?
Yeah. And so you're like, for example, we needed some more bug spray. We have a lot of garden beds, which means we have a lot of bugs.
Yeah.
So every time we go outside, we get eaten alive. And Mary Beth just popped on Amazon, ordered it. It was there by 4:30 in the morning, which, by the way, why did they drop off at 4:30 in the morning?
I don't know. But I'm curious if you have done this or would consider doing this. Did it work? And what do you consider a non-essential purchase? Like, if you really get down to brass tacks, what is essential in your mind and what is not? So groceries are going to be essential.
Of course.
Are undershirts, Sam, essential? I mean, it depends on how you frame the word essential. My 3 vases that I bought, not essential.
Yeah.
I bought a book. I bought a book I've been wanting to read. Not essential.
Well, how many other books have you purchased that you have not yet read?
Oh, I've got an entire library of them.
Then that book would count as not essential.
But this was $9, and you start thinking, all right, it's $9. It makes me happy. It was delivered today.
Yeah.
But is it essential? No.
Certainly. And, you know, it all comes down to how you frame that essential purchase. Were undershirts essential for me? No, I don't need an undershirt, but I like to have one. So as I was doing laundry twice a week and didn't want to do laundry twice a week, it became an essential purchase. But that's one thing that's kind of nice about Amazon, or at least that I've found, is that I can go through and I'm like, okay, I need a new vitamin. I need a new book. I need some new shorts. And so I go in and I add them to the cart.
Yep.
And I'm like, wow, that subtotal's kind of getting to a range that I don't really want to spend right now. And so I go back through.
Delete the subtotal.
Delete, and then I end up with just what is absolutely essential.
So 913-586-7798, if you were doing no spend September, and the rules are simple. Listen to this. Spend only on necessities, and here's what they include in that. Rent, groceries, utilities, and transportation. Everything else, and I mean everything else, is prohibited if you're really going to do this. That means your morning coffee. That means eating out. It means new clothes. It means stopping at Quick Trip and getting gas and running in for a diet soda.
See, I guess I'm pretty lucky there because I'm already, call it frugal, call it cheap, whatever.
You are.
I will opt out of those purchases 9 times out of 10.
Oh, I don't. I'm like, I'm here. It's $2. I'm going to get it. Let's go to Angie in Kansas City. Hey, Angie.
Hey, how y'all doing? Love you guys.
So good. Love you back. Go ahead.
Thank you. So I've done a no-spend January before. My friend and I did it, and it's nice to have a power partner, somebody that you're doing it with.
I love it.
So that you can actually say, like, no, nah, that's not essential. Like, to me, eating lunch and dinner out, that's not essential. Grocery store, essential. You know, work clothes, not essential if you already have enough work clothes.
Right.
So to us, we really didn't set, we just said essential or not essential. And then if we had a question, we would kind of power partner with each other and say, yeah or no.
You know, the other store that would be just completely off limits for me if I did this would be a Target or even a Costco, where you can go in and kind of lie to yourself and say, I'm going in for groceries. And then you come out with all kinds of things that are not groceries.
We struggled with Bath and Body Works.
Oh, yeah, because is there really anything essential in Bath and Body Works?
No.
No. I know, I hate to say it, Angie, but no, right? So you just don't go in. Like, I would literally not be able to go into Target. Because if I'm going to get groceries...
Not with the Target effect, yeah.
I should go to Hy-Vee. But even when I go to Hy-Vee, they have bath bombs now. They have Chiefs gear.
Just don't walk down the aisle.
They're always on the end caps because they see me coming, Sam.
See, it all depends on how you shop. And I don't know if gender plays a role here or what. But when I go shopping, specifically to the grocery store,
I go
in. I've got 25 things in mind. I grab the 25 things. Maybe I'll grab a 26th, but typically it's something healthy. And then I leave.
I go in for 3 things and I come out with 20. 913-586-7798. We're going to take a quick break. More on your calls straight ahead. Festivus Friday, by the way. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, the airing of the grievances here on Dana and Parks straight ahead. Stick with us. Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. Scott will be back on Tuesday. You might be wondering, if everyone jumps into this no spend September, what would that mean for the economy? I don't know that this is a trend yet to the point that it's sweeping the nation and everyone's just going to stop spending money starting next week.
Now, I am all for fiscal responsibility and learning to buy what we need to buy and just don't waste the money on stupid things like that $7 coffee on your way into work. I know it tastes good, but is it really worth it? I went ahead and crunched the numbers, and the whole idea of the No Spend September is to promote good spending habits beyond the month of September, right?
Yeah, build up an emergency fund.
Yeah, it's not about 30 days, and then on October 1st, you just throw it all to the wind and say, I'm going to spend every single dollar I saved because that's what I want to do. No, the idea is to continue on throughout the rest of the year. So, on average, an American will spend $18,000 per year on non-essentials. On average. Now, of course, that brings in the lowest income population, the highest income population.
When you say non-essentials, you mean on frivolous things.
Frivolous items, yes. Specifically $4,000 on impulse purchases, but $18,000 total on non-essentials, extra items outside of things that we need to live, you know, clothing, food, housing.
Sam, I bet your number is $5,000 and I bet my number is $25,000.
I would be willing to agree with that. However, if we were to continue that for an entire year and multiply that by 258.3 million American adults, because we're assuming that folks under the age of 18 aren't just swiping the credit card all day long, I think our economy would collapse.
It would collapse the economy.
Immediately. One year.
A mass no-spend September would temporarily reduce consumer spending, which is a major driver of the economy. However, they think it would lead to a minor short-term economic slowdown, but very negligible. Because you would have to get everybody on board to do it.
If everyone could do it for a year, we would see a drop in $4.65 trillion in spending in the United States.
Oh, I don't know that we want to do that. Let's go to Catherine in Overland Park. Hey, Catherine, go ahead.
Hey, Dana.
Hi.
I am somebody that I'm over 65. Actually, I'm over 75. And of course, I'm not in the big push of buying everything from Amazon, but yet my family has introduced me to it and they make purchases for me. But now for me, for something essential, I was diagnosed earlier with type 2 diabetes.
Aww.
And trying to find no sugar fruit in canned fruit.
Oh, yeah.
I could find one or two. Hardly could I ever find anything past four or five on the shelf. So now, since I want to get as many as I can before winter, they purchased for me a 12 can of no sugar pears.
Okay.
And no sugar peaches.
Oh.
And I think there's no sugar something else, but I can't remember. But anyways.
But Catherine, that would be essential. Like, you need that for your diet. You need to eat. And that's something you can't find here.
Right. And of course, as I told Sam, when the Amazon delivers it to my door, I have a table out there, which they can stick it right on there.
Yeah.
So I come out with my scissors, a plastic bag. Mm. I cut the box open right there on the table. And then I bring two or three cans. I can't lift 12 cans anymore.
Uh-huh.
That's how they're packaged. So it works for me in something that I know I can store in my little utility pantry, and I'm all set.
Well, Catherine, thank you for the call. Very detailed.
Yeah. And, I had mentioned, and we had a caller who dropped who said, maybe that $7 coffee makes me happy.
Yeah.
And if it does, maybe that is your essential. But we talk all the time about how people are struggling to keep up with inflation, struggling to keep up paying the bills and saving money. How many people in America don't have an emergency fund?
I'm going to tell you, I went and got coffee locally. We went to Homer's today, met Carrie. We shared a coffee outside on that beautiful front patio, watched everybody walking by. It was one of the most delightful hours. Just sat there, chatted, had a coffee. And if you said to me, could you go an entire 30 days without doing anything like that? The answer would be no.
But
I could cut down massively. Like, I could say for 30 days, I'm not going to get anything on Amazon because most of those purchases are frivolous. I don't have to have a vase for the house.
But having that one coffee with Carrie, I would argue, is essential. It becomes the, oh, I'm driving to work. That means I have to stop by Starbucks.
Got it.
I have to spend $8. No, it doesn't. That's not what that means.
Yeah.
But if it makes you happy, then maybe it is essential to you.
Well, one of our callers that we've got an open line if you want it, by the way, 913-586-7798 said, who gets to say what is essential?
Right.
You know, I think we're living in a dream world if you think most people would be able to only spend on gas, utilities, rent. What was the other one? Gas, utilities, rent, and
clothes.
Not even clothing for an entire month. I mean, there's going to be something that you buy, isn't there? I mean, maybe not.
You'd be
surprised. Maybe if you truly do it. The one thing that we started, there was a merging of our banks, and we have an old bank account at the old bank, Sam.
Okay.
The checkbook no longer works for that account because they're merging. There never has been a debit card for that account, and one of my paychecks just goes in there and sits.
Nice.
And so there's no, like, I would have to physically drive to the bank to get that money out. It is the first time I have been able to successfully really have like a little bit of a cushion.
An active saver
because it goes somewhere that I don't see it. I don't think about it. I don't have access to it outside of physically going into a bank, pulling out cash, which I don't ever do. But do I need to like stop spending everything in September to achieve that? For me, no.
If you really lean into the cheap lifestyle, and yes, people might make fun of you, whatever. I get made fun of for it. Doesn't bother me. It's amazing. Sometimes I'll go back and look because every couple of weeks I will check my bank statement to see, you know, hey, where did your money go? And I go a couple of different pay periods every once in a while without spending anything other than the groceries and the gas pump.
You guys don't go out to eat?
Not if we don't have the hankering to.
We don't as much as we used to, but we, you know, it's a social thing. Let's go grab something. Let's go watch the Royals game and grab something to eat. It's, to me, it's more of a social to get out. And although last night we were going to go out and eat, we didn't. We cooked at home. And
maybe that's essential for you. Again, to the caller's point,
what's
who
essential?
Decides what's essential?
913-586-7798. Are movies essential? Oh, are streaming services essential? Because, you know, if we're really going to do this and buckle down and not spend any money in September, how much do you all spend on streaming services? My goodness, 3, 4, 5 different subscriptions? Speaking of, TMZ had this story overnight and it broke my heart. There are people saying that the Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson romance was nothing but a PR stunt from the start.
And it worked. Everybody was talking about it, weren't they?
Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson had fans eating up their flirty press tour, but behind the scenes, quote, it was all a PR bake-off. Sources with direct knowledge tell TMZ that the whole Pam plus Liam love fest was cooked up by their PR teams and Paramount while the Naked Gun was still filming in spring of 2024. In fact, TMZ was told Pamela and Liam didn't even see each other from the time cameras stopped rolling in June of 2024 until the press tour launched a month ago. Other sources say they never had dinner. Assistants were always at the table when they were together. Reps for either one of them have not commented. Now, they never came out and said they were together.
That is correct.
They just didn't deny that they were or weren't.
Exactly. They never said, oh, we're in a relationship. But when people said, are you guys in a relationship? They were like, well, we've grown close as we filmed together.
Why did I want that to be true? Why do I care?
I don't know.
But
you guys
liked
were all
it.
Over it.
Did you also hear locally, Heidi Gardner is leaving Saturday Night Live after 8 seasons. God, she's been there 8 years. As cast exodus continues.
By the way, in the last season, she appeared in more skits
than anybody else.
Cast member.
The cast shakeup at Saturday Night Live is turning into an earthquake. The latest performer to exit the show is beloved Heidi Gardner, a Kansas City native who will depart after 8 seasons. She joined in the 2017-18 cast as a featured player, moved up to main cast 2 seasons later. NBC declined to comment. I think she is leaving of her own accord, correct?
Well, you know, that's where you have to wonder, because Lauren is going through right now and firing a bunch of people. Did she say, you know, let me just go ahead and leave?
I don't know.
I would be surprised because of how many skits she was in.
Oh, she's such a huge part of that cast. You know, I think 8 seasons, if you look back at others who have done well doing other things like she is starting to do, 8 seasons is a long time to be on Saturday Night Live.
Well,
a long time.
I think it's always been a pretty clear understanding that Saturday Night Live is a launching pad for your entertainment career.
For most people, yes.
Because, well, and as you mentioned, 8 years is a very long time to remain on staff, and they always go on to do bigger and better things. And SNL doesn't pay very well. It's a lot of stress. It's a lot of hours. But you get to be a part of a storied product.
I think she will come back and be bigger and better than ever just as an actress doing other things. You were already seeing her in commercials and projects far, far beyond our town. So best of luck to her. I adore her. What a great ambassador she is for our town. 913-586-7798. We'll wrap up the hour straight ahead. And also special guests in studio at 3 o'clock for our special needs community. What happens when your loved one, who happens to have special needs, ages out of school, ages out of certain services, moves into adulthood? How do you forge that path forward for independent living, a healthy, meaningful lifestyle? How much does it cost to do that? There is a local nonprofit that's helping out in an amazing way, and we will speak to those folks in the 3 o'clock hour. Stick with us for that. You're listening to Dana and Parks. Boom, ba-dum, boom. Happy Labor Day weekend, everybody. Are you burned out at work? Story from CBS News. I don't think many of you are burned out at work because there ain't nobody at work this afternoon. Text us if you're working. 913-586-7798.
Hello. Hello.
This is one of those Fridays where, like, there's just nobody.
You could take your pick of parking space in the parking lot and go out and move it every single minute and never run out of spaces.
From CBS News. An April study by Career Services from Glassdoor found that employee mentions of burnout have surged 32% since early last year and are now at their highest level since 2016. Such evidence of persistent stress on the job is perhaps no surprise, given that the United States ranks 59th in an analysis of work-life balance in different countries. I'm going to say that again. We're near the bottom. We rank 59th globally in an analysis of work-life balance in different countries.
You've always heard the phrase that other countries work to live.
Oh, yeah.
And we live to work.
Listen to this. Maisha Wynn, a CBS News lifestyle contributor and author of The Winning Way, told CBS News that workers should focus on channeling their energy. The first few hours of the workday are, quote, your high energy time, and thus better for more demanding tasks like Zoom calls, planning projects, and participating in meetings. Later in the day, when your energy often starts to wane, it can be more fruitful to turn to rote tasks and simpler activities like returning emails. Building micro routines can also ease the pressure and help get you through your day. That's where you're really focusing on things that bring you joy, where you might not be able to get away from your desk.
I am the king of micro routines. I do the same thing every single day.
I don't do that order. Anything the same ever.
I know, I can tell.
Sometimes I get up early, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I answer emails, sometimes I don't.
And I would go absolutely bat crazy.
What do you really?
If I lived that way. I mean, I did live that way for a couple of years, and I don't know if you remember, but I went absolutely bat crazy. Routine is good.
So we might bring this back in the 4 o'clock hour if we have time. You know that voters in Missouri agreed and green-lighted expanded paid sick leave for workers.
Speaking of burnt out.
Yep. Then it was the governor that undid it, right? So the voters said, we want sick leave.
Yes.
Then the governor stepped in and said, no,
right.
Repealed what the voters wanted. That repeal takes effect this week, isn't
Yesterday,
it?
Yesterday, yeah.
Proposition A, which was approved by 58% of voters, was estimated to have made sick leave guaranteed for 728,000 workers who lacked sick leave across the state of Missouri. They interviewed a server at a Springfield area restaurant. She says she is a single mother of four. She has a job allowing her to financially support her family, but if she or one of her children gets sick, that financial security goes out the window. When you miss a shift, she says, that's a big deal. You lose that money, and that could be an entire bill. It's one of the reasons she was among 58% of Missouri voters last year who supported Prop A. Workers across the state began accruing the new paid sick leave benefits in May, and it all came to an end on Thursday.
Now, I believe the big argument and the big issue was specifically about small businesses and whether or not those businesses could survive if they had X number of part-time employees out at the same time and they had to pay sick pay to those employees.
Didn't you have to work 40 hours to get like 1 hour of sick leave or something?
If I remember correctly, they had stipulations on company size within that bill. So I'm not really sure. The small business lobby obviously got to the governor and had to couple of conversations with him, and he decided to side with the small business lobby and not Missourians.
This would have affected more than one in three workers in Missouri. Missouri, by the way, is the first state to fully repeal a voter-approved paid sick leave law.
I know that my part-time job had sent out the entire company booklet for what it was going to look like for your paid sick leave, because where I happen to work part-time, if you're not a full-time employee, you don't get paid sick leave. You can call in sick, but it's not paid.
So, and Sam, I understand that there's going to be a learning curve where businesses were trying to figure out, what does this look like? Do you have to prove that they're sick? I mean, you can't just use this as a vacation day.
Oh, they were ahead of it. I mean, they sent out the policy. If I remember correctly, it was within a couple of weeks from when the law originally passed. And of course, now they spent all that time writing up that policy and it doesn't mean anything because it's no longer a law.
And you're right. It was repealed and backed by business groups like the Missouri Chamber of Commerce, who called the mandate a job killer, said that businesses would not be able to keep up with it.
And if you have one, two, three employees, from the business owner perspective, I get the argument. I do. It stinks for the employee, duh, because they're going to be out the money that day and everybody's just trying to live. But as a small business owner with one, two, three employees, you're probably not raking in a massive profit.
Quoting here from that same server, she says, this should scare the hell out of every voter. We voted for this. If they can look us in the eyes and tell us we are not worthy, we should be scared, quote, and ticked off. 913-586-7798. Stick with us straight ahead. I'm really excited about this. We have one of the founders coming in studio of the Mission Project. It is a nationally recognized community program to support adults with developmental differences. We're going to talk to them straight ahead about how you can get involved, how you can help on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.